Okay, the Allman Brothers Band.
Dick Nair at the Anchor at the studio at WNEW-FM throughout the evening. And we're going to be cutting over to the Fillmore East right now for Scott Muni and Allison Steele.
Hi, Scott Muni backstage at Fillmore East, where this evening, of course, the big event will take place, the final farewell party with Bill Graham and his invited guests.
Good evening. Thank you. Thank you. Getting that kind of a response in New York City is a rather delicious feeling. I thank you very much for it. Now, if I can just put it into little jars and put it onto my shelf, I'd be very happy. We're here to share this evening with you, with all of the friends that have helped to make it possible, the people who work here, the people who have helped to put it together, the managers, the agents, the musicians, the DJs, the neighbors, the delicatessens, the pizza parlors in this neighborhood, and a lot of the nice people in New York City. It's a very, very strange feeling this evening, but we're going to join you in having a good time. We'd like to start the music with a man who's become a personal friend over the years of mine, a lot of the people who work here and on the coast, who opened the place with us some 3 1/4 years ago. One of the nice people in this business, Mr. Albert King. This is one of the groups that's going to keep it going for a long, 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 long time. Out of the Boston area, great, great sound, the Jay Giles Band.
What I just noticed a minute ago here is for this momentous occasion tonight, the level of groupies are very high.
Yes.
The way they're dressed and the way they look.
Classy.
And very classy.
Would you welcome, please, one of the happy sounds in music today, Edgar Winter's White Trash.
Rock and roll!
The Beach Boys.
Now we're going to close it out now with the Allman Brothers from the stage.
Thank you.
You heard Bill Graham give the word. It's over. Good night and thank you.
Nothing.
Bill live from stage. Dick Nair is here, and Dick, you've had a chance to, along with Allison, you've had a chance to listen and monitor and check everything out throughout the whole night.
Right, and I think just speaking from a listener standpoint, because basically that's what I've been doing all night, I think we've just been treated to one of the finest nights of music imaginable. Just a lot of fine music. All the groups, I think, were at their best.
Wait here.
Good morning. Mike Kleffner on WNEW-FM Stereo in New York. I just came back from the Fillmore. I just got here about 5 minutes ago, and I just don't know what to say. I mean, I'm just totally, completely awestricken and breathless. It was, you can use any cliche, any adjective that you'd like, but it was heavy, stone heavy.
I remember that night, the night the Fillmore closed, and listening to WNEW-FM and wondering what it might be like to work for them. Well, just a few weeks later, I was. Hi, this is Dennis Elsis, and it was a late Saturday night, early Sunday morning, July 11th, 1971, that I did my first show here. Now, for the rest of that summer of 71 and into the fall, I worked at all hours of the day and night. In January of 1972, I became the station's music director. And for the next 4.5 years, I ran the music library, assisted in programming, had regular weekend shows, and did lots of fill-in work until I took over the 6 to 10 p.m. slot in 1976. Maybe my fondest memory of that period was that afternoon, September 28th, 1974, in fact, when a member of the Beatles came to visit our studios for the first time at WNEW-FM.
Walls and Bridges, which happens to be my new album, and I'm Dr. Winston O'Boogie, otherwise known as John Lennon. And that was What You Got. The guitar lick was inspired, should we say, by Money, 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 by the OJs, was it? Yeah. Because you'd never recognize it now, and that's on Apple or Capitol, and it's available at all those record stores that I keep mentioning.
We need it. It's just a minute past 5 o'clock, so we need an official, and you have to give the FM after the WNEW, and have to give the city.
The city? Well, right. We know which city we're in, don't we?
But in case someone from...
Okay, and you do Metro Media before the or after?
Well, that's not legal. You can just throw that in.
Okay, this is... I keep getting your last name lost in my head. Socialist? Dennis will do with it. Okay, this is John Lennon with Dennis Schlittman on Metro Media Radio on WNEW-FM, New York City. It also comes through on Sterling Cable Manhattan TV on Channel N and Channel 3. And it's very good, you know? They don't even know it themselves. I've been talking to the people here, they don't know it. Well, are we going to play this record now?
No, we have to do commercials.
Oh, well, here's a nice little commercial. I'll have a Whopper if it's a Whopper.
It's very odd for me to be sitting here in a way. I guess it's odd for you to be sitting here, too, in a way. Because, you know, 10 years ago, I was just a Beatle freak sitting there taping you off the Ed Sullivan Show.
Just a Beatle
and
freak.
And buying the records and so on and so forth.
Now you get a freak.
That's true. And sitting here, and does it make sense to you to have been so important and to be so important to so many people and to have been a member of a group that changed hairstyles and clothing? And does all of that make any sense at all? Can you deal with that enormous...
Well, I have to deal with it because, you know, I was in it, you know. When I look back on it, it's sort of vaguely astounding, you know. Fact that I was in there, but when you're in it, we always call it the eye of the hurricane, you know. It was calmer right in the middle than it was on the peripherals. And what was the rest of it you said? Because you got me onto that Chuck Berry thing, right?
Yeah,
that's what we were talking about before.
Yeah, I wondered, you know, because I sit here now as a disc jockey playing the record and interviewing John Lennon as a guest on the program. But 10 years ago, 5 years ago, 3, 4 years ago, this would have been the most unlikely thing in the world to me, and I find it wonderful and ironic and very weird at the same time that it would happen this way.
Well, I guess I understand your point, because I was doing a radio thing on the phone with a radio station somewhere. I can't remember where it was, and the guy was talking the same way, you know, so it was strange because he'd been 16 in the middle of all the Beatlemania, and there I was on the phone mumbling, you know. And he put it well. He said it was like when he saw me on Mike Douglas' show, the way I was acting towards Chuck Berry, because although I was there with Chuck Berry and I'd been sitting backstage with him, I met him a few times over the years, I still had that feeling that when I was 16, those are the records I listened to at what we call milk bars in England, or the jukebox, and I could never quite see him as a human because there was one of my idols actually talking to me. And I understood when I used to order you know, a steak and something, and the waiter just didn't hear me because he was too busy looking at me saying, it talks. You know, it talks. So I understand it in a way, because if I see any of those people from that period of my life when I was 16, I really don't know quite if I'm all there when I'm talking to them, you know. It's a sort of effort to see, oh, yeah, it's a human being, but it is Chuck Berry, isn't it?
It's very nice to know that it's a human being. I mean, it's delightful to feel as comfortable as you've made me the last hour and a half.
Well,
or so
vice versa, because this is your territory, not mine, you know.
I'm glad you came up, too, because, you know, you've been in New York 3-4 years, and we've played the records, and it's a delight to finally have you come down and say hi, and I do hope that you'll come back again, too.
Well, you know, I you can see I'm enjoying it. I wish I'd brought more of my oldies, but I thought I wouldn't want to flood all these young glitter kids with oldie records from the 60s, but I really do enjoy it, and I always felt a bit more strange about doing radio in New York, because I began to feel as though it was my hometown. And it's like almost putting on an act to go on the radio. I did a lot of TV in the early days I was here, but that was different. TV's big and it goes everywhere, and it really is a show in a way. But I tend to felt as though I could do radio easier in, say, LA or Frisco, where it was like being in a foreign country almost. But here I feel as though, well, the people know me, they see me on the street. I've been almost in every cab in New York. You know, it's strange to be sort of talking through a microphone to people. But I do enjoy it. And as you know, I've told you that I listen to your station because they've always been good to me and my friends and the music. And although, as I said before, it comes through the cable TV, and I'm a TV freak, so there you are playing the stuff. And I thought, I always meant to come down, but I always think, well, what do you do? I'm John Lennon, I'm coming down to play record. You know, you feel such a fool. But here I am, and I'd talked to Elton John, who's a good friend, and he does it, and, you know, I thought, well, he is the big one now, you know. I mean, there's not many bigger than him at the moment. And he feels comfortable, he enjoys himself, he told me he had a good time, and he sort of almost turned me on to doing this kind of thing again.
Seeing it's Thanksgiving, and Thanksgivings are joyous occasions, we thought we'd make tonight a little bit of a joyous occasion by inviting someone up with us onto the stage. And I'm sure it would be no stranger to anybody in the audience, but I say it's our great privilege, and your great privilege, to see and hear Mr. John Lennon.
His appearance last night, how long had you been planning that he would come and work with you on the stage for a few songs?
Well, I've always thought, I mean, when we did the track and when the album, you know, did really well and the single got to number one, I thought it would be nice for him to do Lucy with us on stage, because he was all knocked out that we did that, and I thought it would be good if he did whatever gets you through the night. I didn't pressure, I didn't say, you know, I didn't actually phone him up and say, will you do it? I got Tony to sort of breach the ice, and he said he was interested but petrified. Interested but petrified of New York. And so I phoned him up and said, listen, if you're right, you know, just come on and do Lucy if you're going to be, you know. But we got together in New York. It wasn't, you know, and we talked about what we should do, and we had a rehearsal on Tuesday night at the record plant, and we did Whatever Gets You Through the Night and Lucy. And then I said, listen, they're going to want more than two. You're going to have to do another one. So I suggested Imagine, first of all. And he said, well, yeah, but it's a bit boring. I'd rather do something up-tempo. So I came up with I Saw Her Standing There, which was the first track on the first Beatles album. And it was great because he said he'd never sung it. Paul sang it. So all the three songs that we did on stage last night, he'd never performed on stage at all, because he never did Lucy in the Sky on stage, because at that point the Beatles had sort of given up touring. So, I mean, he came to us last week. He came to Boston with us and got petrified and sort of was more nervous than I was going on stage. Last night it was reversed. I was absolute jittering. I was terrible. And he was okay. And it was just one of those magical things. I mean, for me anyway, just to actually be playing on stage and then on walks John Lennon, you know, just completely blew my head off.
I'd like to thank Elton and the boys for having me on tonight. We tried to think of a number to finish off with so that I could get out of here and be sick. And we thought we'd do a number of an older strange fiancé of mine.
called Paul. This is one I never sang. It's an old Beatle number, and we just about know it.
Here we are.
Springsteen plays the bottom line, and a real-life dog day afternoon unfolds on the radio when the 30 years of WNEW-FM continues.